Put our hands together, sit together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, as we gather this morning into the afternoon, we receive the revelation that is found in Jesus. There is no error in our hearts or in the atmosphere. We have clarity and precision in Christ Jesus. We walk in the wisdom given to us in Christ. In our hearts, we behold Jesus your Son as he sees us in him. He's glorified, we are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. We're looking at the practice of honor. The practice of honor. And we began that in the first service. I'll just go over a few key issues that we dealt with in the first service. Matthew 28, verse 19. Or 18 first. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, which is to make disciples, to train. Make disciples, raise up for. And it's by teaching. Anyway, verse 20. Teaching them to observe. And the word teaching there is didasco, which is to instruct. Now, in the first service, we began to look at that you need to, things have to be taught, just like honor. So that you don't mix up biblical honor with cultural honor. There's cultural honor. I'm not saying it's wrong, but there's biblical honor. And there's a basis for it. For example, there's morality and there's righteousness. Now, morality and righteousness may look alike, but they might not be the same. What informs whether it's morality or righteousness is the reason for it. Now, if I'm trying to get God's approval by not doing wrong, that's not righteousness in Christ. If I'm doing right because God's justified me, that's righteousness in Christ. If I'm doing right because of my nature of love, that's righteousness in Christ. So, you may have someone respect another based on culture or age or things like that, but that's not biblical honor. Biblical honor must be taught. It must be explained. And properly so. In the same way, Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 talked about how a woman will honor her husband in the way she dresses. And in Corinth, that will be demonstrated by the woman putting something on her head to cover her head. But Paul says, we have no such custom in the churches of God, in verse 15 and 16. So we know, and he uses the word custom, that is, uses the word sunithia, which is in John 18, where they say it's just something that's accepted. Maybe around your area, a respectable woman or a woman who respects her husband, this is what she does. So a woman will submit to her husband in the way she dresses. Doesn't have to be covering her head with a cloth. Okay, it could be just dress well. Basically, that was what Paul was saying. So cultures will differ, but the truth is that the culture of honor is a biblical truth, a biblical practice of a believer. Let's get back to this. So in the first service, I said this, that the reason for dishonor is what? Who can remember what I said? Was it? The very reason for honor is the reason for dishonor, which is the humanity. That the very reason for dishonor is the reason why we should honor. And we said honor is value. Okay? Honor is value. To put value on something or someone. And then we said that the reason why Jesus had a lot of offense against him was his humanity. His humanity was the problem. How can you, a man, make yourself equal with God? That was the problem. Interestingly, it is in that humanity that we find the revelation of God. And then we said in the first service that God has brought to nothing the wisdom of this world. Remember we read that in the first service? 1 Corinthians 1. That the things that are... God chose the things that have no nobility. He chose the things that are not wise to confound the wise. So we said, things that we must never in the faith value people for. What they own. Money, education, or their past sins must never be a point of reference. Money, what they own, or their past sins. We said all that in the first step. Honor, therefore, we said is to value. And that Jesus puts his honor on his church. That everything he paid for, he puts his honor on it. Say, the honor of Christ is on me. Say, the honor of Christ is on me. All right, good. So the honor of Christ is on you, it's on the church, it's on the believer. I would say the first thing is the law of recognition. You must recognize the person you are talking to is in Christ. And I said, if your husband, for example, is a believer, which should be, he's not first. If you see him first as your husband, or you see her first as your wife, you are carnally minded. In my own words, not Paul's words. Because he or she is first your brother or sister in Christ. That's recognition. Then I said the second thing is to renew your mind. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. The fellow may be a gate man or security man. He may be a driver. But he's firstly your brother in Christ. And again, I said that Paul in 1 Timothy 6. So let's turn to that one. I mentioned in the first service. 1 Timothy 6. He asks that believing employees do not take advantage of their believing employers. Verse 2. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. So, the fact that your boss is a Christian is not the reason why you should do things and say, ah, and he says he's a Christian. Yes, I know I made a mistake now, but he's not a Christian. You should be sacked. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Ephesians 6, verse 5 and 6. Another place, Colossians. Chapter 3. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do little as to the Lord and unto men, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord shall you receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive of the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants, which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So, it goes both ways. We have a teaching like that. The new creation, and what? His relationships. The new creation is religion. It's a teaching we did about 7-8 years ago, and it deals with you and the government, you and the church, you and your boss at work, you and your employees and all that. Who has listened to that teaching before? Anybody? Okay, if you haven't, you go get it again. It's a series we did, all the kind of relationships in the church and how we must handle them. Alright, let's get back to this. So, therefore, how did we get to this? Honor, right? You value people. The person is first your brother in Christ before he's your boss, before he's your employee. And so, honor must be taught. If you're a pastor, don't assume people know anything till you teach them. Teach them. Jesus said you must teach it. And I remember some 9 years ago, the Lord said to me, you must teach honor. If people are going to walk in honor, you must teach it. Honor. I learned honor from Kenneth Hagin. You must teach honor. And Kenneth Copeland as well. You must teach it. If you want people to practice something, you teach it. So I began to do a series of honor those years. And every year I ensure that I touch that subject on honor. Honor, how to honor people, how people also should receive honor. Now, having said that, in Acts 2, honor, we said there's renewal of mind. You renew your, the first thing is you recognize the person. The second thing is you renew your mind. So we're going to look at we're looking at honor in practice. Again, we have a book, The Life of Honor. It's a book that's exhaustive on the subject, The Life of Honor. Now in Acts 2:42, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in breaking of bread, and prayers. They believed the gospel, then continued in the doctrine. Now listen carefully to this. Now let's see the result of the doctrine. The result of the doctrine was that verse 44, let's take 44 together, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. In other words, we saw ourselves as the same. Don't forget, every society will have the rich, the poor, maybe the middle class, now we say. They will have the educated, the illiterate. Every society has that. Sometimes it's very limited, sometimes it's much. You know, and here you are, he says, everybody, the professor, the pap seller, they now have things in common. They found commonness in Christ. Now, it's another thing if you say that, you say, you are my brother, you are my sister, you are my brother. In song, you are my brother, you are my sister, you are my brother. Yeah. And that's where it ends. But they didn't just say it. The next verse says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. Now, that statement was repeated again in chapter 4. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them the things he should possess was his own, but they had all things in common. And they sold. So a fruit of honor is giving. There can be honor when there is no giving. Honor gives. What did I say? Say it again. Honor, not all the time material, don't get it wrong, but material is part of it. Honor gives. And that's why in a marriage, if a marriage will be sustained, it has to be given. A marriage, a relationship, a partnership, a friendship, they have to be given. Even a relationship between the pastor and the sheep. The pastor must not all be taking like Undertaker. He must be found, in fact, he should be the example of giving. Alright? So, honor always gives. Honor gives. God honors us. He gave his son. Honor is practical. And so, he put his honor on us. He gave us his spirit. Honor. Honor gives. Honor is liberal. So a key element of honor is that you give. Because if it is value, you know, we said earlier, honor is to value something. And I use the example of your phone. Maybe some of you know, but you have your iPhone 6, is it 10, no? iPhone 10 or whatever. But the point is, if you buy a phone of that value, maybe $400,000 or $500,000, and then the thing wants to fall down, you allow it to die. You will go after it like this. But if it's Cinco, if a Cinco will fall down, you put it together. Rise again. You get it? That's value. Honor gives. Honor gives attention. Honor gives respect. Honor gives material things. Honor. God did that for us in Christ. Watch this. A key element was his liberality, and that was demonstrated as the church was taught. They honored each other. They honored the poor. They honored the uneducated. Right. Now, in Philippians 4, Paul talked about the same kind of value. He said, they valued him, and when he was in need, they gave to him. Philippians 4, read from verse 13 over from verse 11 down to verse 19. Honor, therefore, gives. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, let the elder that rule well be counted worthy of what? Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. He said, worthy of double honor. The word double in the Greek is the word diplos. D-I-P-L-O-U-S. It actually means times two. You'll see it in Matthew 23:15 and Revelation 18:16. It means times two. What it means is that Paul gives you a proportion of how you give to ministers. He says it's double. Double of the wages you pay others. He says you give it to those who rule well. So in verse 18, he says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threshes the corn, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now, I hope that where we are today, we actually practice 1 Timothy 5:17. That what you pay others, you look at the person who is over you in the Lord, and you ensure that you give him times two. That's what Paul just taught. So honor is substantial. Honor is giving. You give. 1 Peter 2:17, Peter says you show honor. That means we say that's the verb. You demonstrate value in what you say and what you give. We'll get back to that later on. Say again, honor is substantial. Honor is an action. Say honor is an action. So your action shows whether you honor or dishonor. Remember, Mark Hankin said this, and I won't forget. He said, sometimes you don't have to dishonor, you just choose not to honor. You know, you don't have to dishonor. You just choose not to honor. There's just some people I know, they don't like it when someone is respected. There's just something in them that breeds disrespect. They always like to say, what is the big deal? Some guys are just wired like that in the flesh. What's the big deal? So they say, what is it? So there's some folks like that. They're just wired that way. What's the big deal? They breed dishonor. And dishonor breeds dishonor. It's a system. Honor breeds honor. Say honor breeds honor. I teach my children to honor. I do. Honor breeds honor. I teach church members to honor. I teach pastors and leaders to honor. Because honor breeds honor. Now, earlier on, we looked at Jesus' humanity and we said that was the offense. That the very reason why they should honor him was why they dishonored him. We think honor must be when someone meets my specification. No. Jesus didn't meet the specification of the Jews. He came as a man, and for them, that's an offense. How can you say that you are God? Amen. He went to his hometown. And the problem was, they gave him his life history. No, the people will download your story for you. You. Is there? We have businessmen. We have billionaires. We have, and they can mock you like you say, hey, what are the chosen careers in our country again? And they say, well, say medical doctor, lawyer, those who sell and buy. And they say, so what is his father's own? They're mocking you. Say, carpenter. Oh, those people that stay at, where is that place? It's not on the map. That's how they talked about Jesus. And that was God in the flesh. I told you, everything God did in his incarnation, it made a mess of human reasoning. Everything he did. He came with through poor parents. He was raised as a carpenter's son. Everything didn't look noble. And Paul says, he brought the wisdom of the wise to nothing. He was of no parentage. It's not his kind you find in king's palaces, except their servants. But that was God. Hallelujah. And that was the very reason they dishonored him. Which should have been the very reason they should have honored him. His humanity, which is the price for sin, was the very reason they dishonored him. In his hometown, they said, is this not the son of David? I mean, the son of Joseph? His sister? They now mention all his sisters and his brothers. That if you say you are God, how come you get siblings like this? Are they also goddesses? Goddesses and goddesses. You know that? No, have you not seen yourself mock people before? You will expand the narrative and mock very, very well. So they mock Jesus, and then who is he? Who is talking? And you're talking. Who is he? What is he? Joshua, Joseph. Who is Joseph again? Oh, that carpenter that helped you did your for your dog, not you for your dog. That's his son. And what he say is man of God. His humanity was a challenge. Watch this. Yet that was the glory of God. And so, we must renew our minds not to honor what men honor and dishonor what God honors. You must renew your mind. There are some people, I would say you must honor the brethren, show love. There are some who will come to this service now and they will treat the usher with dishonor. The usher is not your staff. The usher is serving you in the place of Christ. That is Christ at that door. And then you say, can you sit there? Why? And they tell you, sir, you are not opening your Bible. Is it you? Are you me? Take care of yourself. But the same person will go for an interview somewhere and say, please fill the form. You don't say, I don't fill forms. Or you are going through security. You're traveling out of the country. And then you say, remove your belt. In fact, you'll be removing from your forms. Then you come to church. Can you sit here? Why? Do you know my age? You have dishonor. You don't value the church. If you like, leave this place and go and buy all the Living Word materials. You don't, first of all, cure dishonor in your heart. You have dishonor. There's nobody like that here. Amen. See, I have God's honor on me. And I live in honor. Praise the Lord. You show value. You show value to the house of God. We say the meetings also. When last were you at a prayer meeting in the church of God? It's lack of honor. Romans 12:10. Preferring one another in honor. 1 Peter 2:17. I shared that in the first service. I'm just going over it. 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor the brethren. Love them. How can you say you love the church? You don't have time throughout the week. And the service you come for, second service, you come and you escape. Like we shall not all sleep. The twinkle of an eye, you're gone. Your problem is honor. And I'm sure you go to other places, you spend time there. Because you value them. So, honor is on your heart. You must check your heart. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 8. These people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But their heart is far from me. So honor is of the heart. See, honor is of the heart. 1 Peter 2:17. It says to show it, timao in the Greek, T-I-M-A-O. You show it. You show it. So it's of the heart and also in your deeds. So it's honor and instruction in scripture to honor the church. So is dishonor a sin? Huh? Come and talk to me, church. Is dishonor a sin? It is a sin. Many times we think that the only sin in the Bible is fornication. Through one man, fornication entered into the world. Fornication is a sin. But dishonor is a sin. When you dishonor, you know, Paul says, when you do that to the brethren, he says you sin against Christ. You know, Brother Hagin said this one time. He said, there are sins of the flesh. This is how he taught it. I don't teach it that way, but this is how he taught it. And I got the understanding from what he said. He said, there are sins of the flesh. He said, but there are sins of the spirit. Sins of motives. Then he now explained it for 1 Corinthians 8. He says, for example, when you despise the believer and you do whatever you like, you don't care. So that is sin of the heart. He says, that is weightier. I believe it. Because you won't find any other place where Paul says you sin against Christ and the believer. So So that disrespect you showed to people at the car park, that disrespect you showed when you went to pick your children at the children's church, that disrespect you showed to your HOD in the church or to a brother in the ushers. I'm telling the ushers because I know what happens. Yes? That disrespect you show is to Christ. Because I said in the morning, when Christ gives somebody a work to do, he puts what? His honor on them. He puts his honor on them. The person may not dress the way you like. The person may not look the way you like. We said Jesus was not handsome. Can you remember? He was a stark illiterate. He wasn't of the educated class. But that is God in man. That is a lesson in itself. That in itself is a lesson. When he was found by the Magi, he was found in the house of a poor parents. He was found among sheep. And that's God. So, learn to understand that honor is of the heart. As you value the blood of Jesus, you value the work it does in people's lives. See, I walk in honor. Let's go for it. Dishonor is a sin. Honor is a righteous deed. Dishonor is a sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we're going to look at so many practical examples now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul gives us a warning in verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant how that all the fathers were under the sea, or under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and did all spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." You know, that's basically referring to how these folks did not believe the gospel. You can check Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 8 or thereabout to verse 19. And then Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 to verse 11. How that those folks that left Egypt for Canaan, they did not receive the gospel. And that's why God was not pleased with them. That's just for a reference. Then he says, with many of them, verse 5, God wasn't pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, they were overthrown in the wilderness after they had not believed the gospel. Right? Now, let's follow this one. Then, verse 6. Let's take verse 6 together. Now, these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, we see in them examples of the flesh that you and I should not walk in. Because a sin is a sin. The new covenant did not change what a sin is. Galatians 5, 19 to 21 talks about the works of the flesh. The same things you see in the Old Testament. Idolatry is one of them. Anger, avarice, division, covetousness. All of them are in there. Fornication, adultery, they're all there. Witchcraft, emulations, they're all there. Works of the flesh. And it says here, you must not copy their examples, how they lusted after evil things. Neither be idolaters, as some of them were, as when they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither was committed fornication, some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. That's actually idol worship. Fornication there refers to idol worship, primarily. And he's saying that, and idol worship today isn't idol worship. The idol worship simply means to exalt a man-made object or device or invention above God's word. That's what it is. So he says we mustn't get to the point that some things take our heart and take our attention. He's not talking about going to a shrine. 1 John 5:21. Little children, be careful, beware of idols. He mentions that again here. Now look at this. In verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. To tempt Christ there means to pressure him, to ask or do something outside his power. We've explained that before now. The last thing he says, neither murmured ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. I don't know how to murmur. You know how to murmur? Let's murmur. Let's say, when you are grumbling about something, or you are complaining. Complaining and grumbling is a sin. Bible just says it. As some of them did. Can a believer walk in the flesh? Yeah, should he know? But he can. 1 Corinthians 3:1. I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, either though you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able. For are you not carnal and walk as men? And that's why he gave this example. Carnal, acting like somebody who is not born again. And so you can find a Christian who lives exactly like those folks that we just read in the Old Testament. Not because he's not born again. He's born again, but he's not walking in the light of the Word. He's not walking in the light of the Word. So we can have such. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happen to them, for examples. Where is in the poor admonition, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10. Upon whom the hands of the world are come. Let's take verse 12 together. Let's go, everybody. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, take it. The fall is what picto, fall into sin, fall into temptation. You must take heed. Take it means apply caution. All it takes to walk in sin is the human will and acceptance to do it. The human will and acceptance to do it. He's saying here that you should not fall into sin. Hallelujah. He says, because every temptation, verse 13, there is no temptation that is not as is common to man. So temptation is human. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will every temptation also make a way to escape for you might be able to bear it. That basically. So there is always a way out of escape. The way, a way of escape from temptation is the Word. Do the Word. That is, you will suppress, deny your desires, and do the Word. We're teaching honor. The Bible also gives us godly examples. We have godly examples in James 2. James talks about Abraham, who shows an example to follow. James talks about faith, James 2. Without works, James calls it dead. James chapter 2. From verse 14, but precisely verse 17. And then to verse 19. Then it talks about Abraham and it talks about Rahab, who he says they had works that we follow. James 2. In 1 John 3, John talks about Abel and Cain. Talks about Cain, who was of the wicked one, who had hatred. 1 John 3. Verse 12. Examples of hatred and love. In 1 Peter 3, we have the example. I mentioned Sarah also. 1 Peter 3, an example of a wife. And he used Sarah. Of course, it's not how she gave him a guy. That's important to note. Hope you understood that. Bless you. Verse 5. After this manner, in old time, the holy men also who trusted in God, he says, adorned themselves, being where? In subjection to where? Holy women. Subjection to their own husbands. Don't forget the word own husband, not to all the husbands in the body of Christ. Verse 6. Let's take verse 6 together. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him darling, honey, sweet, Lord. How about that? Lord simply means Lord, actually. Master. But she was such a submissive woman that she told the husband what to do. No, that's just for cross-referencing. No, nothing serious. whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and not afraid with any amazement. Then that's why he now talks about the husbands who should do likewise in verse 7. So we have the example of a godly wife. We have the example of Abraham, the example of Abraham. Hebrews 6 also, Abraham's patience. We inherited the promise in Hebrews 6 and 12. We also have the example of prayer. Elijah. Not the fire, the prayer. James 5, 17. Elijah was a man. Suffered to life as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. He prayed again on the earth, the period of 6 months on the earth. And then he prayed again, verse 18, pardon me. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit after. So we have a man of prayer. So we have examples of men that we follow. So we can have examples of the flesh, examples of men who live by faith, and whose lifestyles we can also emulate. Now get back to Luke 4. We'll get back to the Old Testament as well. In Luke 4, again we said, Jesus' greatest challenge was what? His humanity. And when it comes to honor, that will be your greatest stumbling block. Because the men and women whom God will ask us to honor are men and women. Just like the man he gave as a substitute for our sin was a man. Yet God honored Jesus while men dishonored him. So that humanity is either your focus of honor, or when you walk in the flesh, your focus of dishonor. Write this down. All that God will use is human. All that God will use. What God will save is a man. Who he will use to save others by preaching are men. And it will never change. On the right hand of the Father today, on the throne of God, is a man. So, to learn honor in practice, know that where honor is where dishonor will come from. It's the same place. Remember, the very first principle is the law of what? Recognition. This man is a believer. This man is the Savior. Key. Then you renew your mind. You renew your mind with that fact. You renew your mind. You have to renew your mind. Renewing of mind is a continual thing, just like spiritual growth. You have to keep renewing your mind. So in Luke chapter 4, see what they said to him. We read the Mark 6 account where they said, is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son? In Luke 4, the moment he got up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, in verse 18. He says, he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He's right in the synagogue, in the temple, right before the doctors of the law. You dare to say this, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and every eye was on him in the synagogue, fastened on him. They began to say to them, they said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And then they all bore witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeds out of his mouth. Now, can we read the B part together? And they said, is this not? Now, honor is in your questions or dishonor. Look at what they said. They were not asking to be answered. This is a rhetorical question. What is this? What is this is not a question. It can be nonsense. Who do you think you are? It's not that you want to know, you're just saying rubbish. And so what? It's not a question, it's a rhetorical insult. Is this not the son of Joseph? So his humanity was their problem. And you know, they couldn't find it, even though it was written all over the prophets. But because they were lacking in faith, they will be lacking in honor. So here they are. Watch this. Then he said to them, watch this. He said, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. In other words, dishonor sets standards for others. Dishonor sets standards. If he's a man of God, he shouldn't be doing this. He should be able to do this. That's dishonor. You should know that God doesn't sample your opinion before he does what he does. Can I have an amen to that? God doesn't need your approval to who and how he saves. He doesn't need your endorsement to who and how he chooses men. God doesn't run interviews before he uses men. Men may not meet your qualification, but that's just your business. We saw it in the morning. He takes the foolish things of this world, the base things of this world. He makes a mincemeat, a mess of what we all think he should do. And that's critical. Watch this. Jesus would choose 12 men. Most of them were boys. Who would choose boys? Boys, youthful. History has it, it's debatable, that some of them were as young as 13, 14. It's very, very probable because by the time John died, and look at his age and the number of years he spent, he must have been in his late teens or middle teens. So he had a group of teenagers who were active, working. None of them was of the upper class. Even Matthew, the tax collector, wasn't the rich man. They were just, you know, average guys doing fine. Some of them were poor. Some of them were unlettered. Many of them were. And along the line, they show traits that will make all of us go, disloyal, unstable, ambitious. James and John, disloyal. Peter, doubtful Thomas, thieving Judas. Yet, we consider that he didn't. So, it will do you good not to consider it as well. It will do you good not to see it at all. That this is what God has done. This is what God has chosen. That's all. And I choose to honor what God is doing. Let's go further. This instance and this query was recorded by three of the Gospels. Three of them. In fact, a typical one, there's a Luke 6 account, a Mark 6 account. We saw it earlier on. I'll just look for precisely. We'll get back to the Mark 6 as well. Look at the John 4 example. I need your attention, Saints Community Church. I want to show you something very, very critical and very vital. Look at the John example. John 4. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. Why did he say that? Because the Samaritans received him in a way that his own hometown didn't receive him. It would be a shame for someone to be your husband, your wife, your sibling, your son, your cousin, and you are the one who doesn't honor the person. Now, a prophet is not without honor. It's not a spiritual principle that has to come to pass in your life. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? It's not a spiritual principle that is destined for you to do. And he now went outside. It was that woman of Samaria that said, "This is the Christ that has come to the world." When Jesus asked, I need your attention, says Camille. When he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Not one person in amongst his people said he was Christ when they came back. But this is Samaria, where he didn't send the 12. And he said, "He is Christ." Don't overrate your opinion. Your opinion can be as fickle as it should be, because you're human. And here we are, outside Jesus' hometown, he is received. Are you there? Are you there? Now, let's go back to Luke 4. Mark 6 account, we read that earlier. Don't forget again, God uses foolish things. You agree? Alright. So, in my faith and honor, I must be ready to submit to foolish things. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Many times I talk to people that I know in ministry and I tell them, I've walked with the Lord and I've walked in the ministry for a few days. I have come to predict God in this. I've come to predict God so accurately in this that he will do things that beat your expectation. They just make a mess of it. He doesn't ask for your permission to use whomever he wants to use. Now, this is no way a blanket approval for error or heresy. No. But he doesn't. Sometimes he's just the least expected things. Look at this, look at that, look at the same trend from the Old Testament to the New Testament to his incarnation. Everything just didn't match up. And so you mustn't be caught using your expectations for what you will honor. Am I making sense here? So am I making sense here? Look at Luke 4. Jesus now gives examples. In verse 24, Luke 4. Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his country. This has to do with him. In the Mark 6 account, put your hands there. Let's get to Mark 6. In the Mark 6 account, they say to him, is this not, verse 3, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, the Joseph and of Judah, Simon, this is not here, and they offended him. Hear me well. The less you know about someone's humanity, the best for you. The less you know. A guy told me this one time. He said, it happens that his pastor, when they go out together, he ministers with the power of the Holy Spirit more effectively than their church. Interesting, the man was their general overseer of a denomination in Nigeria in the 2007 or so. Then he said he doesn't know why. I said, because they don't gist like you. But the moment one of you go to that church and tell them something, they won't receive him that way again. So the less you know about a fellow's humanity, the better for you. Or in case you now know he's now your sibling, your husband, your brother, your sister, you use a love what? Recognition. Always apply that. If you are spiritually minded, and I always say this, my mother, I say it all the time because it's a reference. My mother, of course, when you say someone is your mother, you know what that means literally. My mother, ever since she came to recognize God's hand on me, she has never called me my name. I didn't ask her not to. I didn't even say it's correct. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, she just applied that. And I'm saying this is 22 years or so now. Yeah, but this is 2001? 18? Oh, about 23, 24 years. She hasn't, not once. And those of you who live with us, whoever live with me, know what I'm saying. She didn't start last night. That's a law of recognition. He is your son secondarily. She is your wife secondarily. I know that takes a lot of spiritual maturity. A lot of maturity. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you can't handle your son being your pastor, how would you have handled your son being your savior? They told that the baby in our womb came to die for our sins. And she was going to breastfeed him. How would you breastfeed your savior? Women should know. Or then and you think that maybe by the time he comes out of your womb, he'll just grow up as a child. He now grows up normally. He will poo. And then you are cleaning the bum bum of your savior. Then he wants to lay hands on you. You say, with this same hand? You follow my... You will have to be very spiritual in your thinking. I believe Jesus was fed. Angels didn't feed him. I believe he cried when he was hungry. He didn't just say, maybe it's 3 months ago, Mommy, you know I'm God in the flesh. I'm not supposed to cry. No. Then you saw him cry. Then you saw him grow up. And that person growing up is God. I think that's a whole lot of honor. Just follow what I'm saying here. That's honor. And then you are siblings. Don't forget, she never disclosed his deity. She kept the saints where? In her house. She didn't disclose it. His siblings didn't know. She didn't tell them either. Obviously from their act. And then they said, is this not? And they're trying to find out. That's his sister. That's his brother. And that was the disorder. That was the disorder. And in Luke chapter 4, get back there, so you don't leave it. Luke 4. Look at the examples that Jesus gave, because we're going to read each one. Verse 25. I tell you of a truth. Can we take 24 together again? Verily I say unto you. Now say, this is not in my case. Say it like you mean. This is not in my case. Now, I shared something on Facebook, and I have to say, you can remove it, you have liberty to remove it. And that's about Brother Tokes. I did you one, you know what I mean? I've known him 25 years. And I just tell you the part of it that I need to say. And I'm wondering, in this country, people talk about respecting Kenneth Hagin and his ministry. Not just that. We have seen people literally use the Kenneth Hagin name, you know, to do the work of ministry, which is fine because it's the name of Jesus. And then someone right here in this country who many of us have known that he carries on him almost that same grace on Kenneth Hagin. And that's the reason why I stuck with him all over the years, even though we fought him, told us that one day we can't fight again. We can't fight again. We have fought all we fight. We are now in our rest. You know why? Because if you honor the Father, you must honor the Son. If you claim to respect that man, and you see someone who carries something in his life, you respect him. And I'm surprised that he took another nation to recognize what we ought to have seen. You know why many of us didn't see? They saw him in the university. They saw him in his humanity. But the reality is this. You can't choose for God. You can't. You can't choose for God. He is the one that chooses who He will choose to do what He wants to do. And so you must just recognize. If you debate it from now to now, God will not enter that debate with you. You are only debating with yourself. And so this doesn't have to happen to us. Look at the next verse, 25. Now I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. And the heavens were shut up 3 years and 3 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Look at 26. Let's say 26 together. Until none of them was Elijah sent, save to Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Zarephath was a Gentile community. That is, his ministry was not received by Israel, where he came from. It was received by a Gentile nation. So, it's not like God chose the widow. No, the widow had honor. Honor will always attract God's blessing. Honor will always attract the grace of God. The grace of God is free. But if you go anywhere and they say no to the preacher of the gospel, can they ever be saved? No. Honor will always attract. Dishonor will always repel. So the woman's honor. And, you know, we're going to see a few things that she did. Let's see that example. Are you there? Are you still in church? 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, just a few scriptures I'm going to point out to in the woman. Not about our seed sowing and all the stuff that people brought out there. Zarephath from verse 9. In verse 10, he says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. She was going to fall. He called her again and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in the barrel, a little oil in the cruse, and behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. He said, fear not, go and do as I've said. And make me not a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after I make for thee and thy son. Now the point is this, and listen carefully. Honor takes instructions. She is not a Jew. So she's not even expected to respect a prophet from Israel. But here she goes. She does exactly what he says. And if you know the description of Elijah. Elijah wasn't the kind of guy you would like to have in your home. But she welcomed him. She accepted him. And she received. So I say honor takes instructions. Honor receives by taking instructions. Exactly. Honor. And Jesus uses that example. The second example, Luke 4. Many lepers, he says, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. What is common in these two examples? They were both Gentiles. Remember the Matthew 8 account. He says, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Two things. The man's use of words. Jesus' use of words. And the man's honor. He said, I'm not worthy you come to my room. Speak your word only. Whereas he went to some people's place, they chased him out. Honor. And again, that's a Gentile. Are you following this? So, Naaman and the widow were both non-Jews. They were not of his family. They were not of his tribe. But they were men of honor. Let's go to that example. 2 Kings 5. If you know how the story panned out, you will be stunned. 2 Kings 5. Naaman, who was a leper here. I'm going to read verse 1. Now, he had a servant. Let's just go there quickly. Had a servant in verse 3 who said, if my Lord, you know, is this disease, there's a prophet that is in Samaria. He will recover him from his leprosy. And then they told him. Then he said, okay, go. Said to Naaman, that's a servant, the king's servant, the king now sent a letter to Elisha. But notice something. Everything that was used here were despicable things. A house girl. And then you are asked to go to where? To Israel. Or to Samaria to go and meet a Jew. And then the man gets there. At the door, Elisha now sent a message in verse 10. Go wash in Jordan. That's bad enough. 7 times. Eh? Have you ever had your bath 7 times before? 7 times? Jordan is not a swimming pool. It's where all sorts of people go to. The poor, the rich. No, the poor. The rich don't go there. And then he says in verse 11, I thought he will come out to me in verse 11 and stand and call him of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover. Can you imagine? He's giving order. You are not sick yet. Are not Abana and Parah rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? You are still posing. You don't have AC. Right? Go and eat AC. Look at this. So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then wash and be clean? Can you imagine all the things that have been used? Servant, house girl, river. Then he went down and dipped himself how many times? You know, he never was cured till the 7th time. Honor takes what? To the letter. 7 times. I don't know why I'm getting this example again. A lady, years back, I just known her, 95. And, I mean, I was younger in the ministry. And she came for our meetings. And I just said to her, make sure you fast throughout this week, starting from tomorrow. She didn't ask me questions. And I just walked away. She said, make sure you fast tomorrow. You know, that fast, let me just sum up. How many of you know the story? That fast saved her from poisoning. Now, what about the believer's authority? Believer's authority does not work in disobedience. That is the believer's authority there. Fast. And I didn't explain. And that was it. She would have been killed. And you know, I'm sorry, you know the story. So the truth is, honor takes instruction. Honor takes instruction. Honor welcomes. Honor takes instruction. Sometimes from things that you have despised. Sometimes the things you don't respect. And I said earlier, don't forget, the less humanity you consider, the more honoring you will be. Value instructions. I always remind people in this church, time and time, don't forget how you got in here. Don't get used to, you know, some folks came into our church, younger Christians, very zealous. If you just greeted them anywhere, and maybe your zonal pastor said, good morning, wow, you'll be so glad, morning star, and you're so happy. But after a while, you're now around 1 year, 2 years, maybe you have even played football together and you dribbled him or her, or him in this case. Maybe some things have happened. Maybe you've had to help him repair his car. His car broke down and he have money. Yeah. Sometimes this person can even be your classmate in school. And you help the person doing his project and you both do together. I know it's not that, sir. It's this. This is the wrong answer. That's the right answer. You are seeing the humanity. You are seeing the humanity. It's not even unlikely, though this should not happen to a man of God, that you ask you out and you say no. It should not happen. A man of God must be discerning. I always tell him, if you collect crucifixion, you'll be sure brick like another thing. You should weigh your options. Ask the right questions. Just like joke, say it. I mean, it's not impossible for us to. You guys say, hey, are you sure? Oh, no, I'm just. You test the waters very well. Because if you are nailed, I don't know about resurrection, no. But it's very possible that you said no from that point. You know what I'm saying? So, and people, after a while, you've done business again, you didn't click and stuff like that. That humanity now brings what? Dishonor. Rather, it should have strengthened your what? Honor. Because God uses the foolish things. That should have strengthened your honor. So I expect the wife of a preacher, the husband of a preacher, you are both preachers, I believe, to give yourself that mutual regard. Of the honor of God on yourself. We have this treasure where? In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God. So that humanity makes you praise God more. I'm not talking about sin, don't get me wrong. Of course, sin just shows the person is human. No doubt. But I'm saying the humanity. I've seen people, because their pastors got some things wrong. And they got it wrong. Maybe you deceived your pastor one day. You said, where are you coming from? Sir, I'm coming from Songota. And you were coming from Abeokuta. Say, hey, that's good. And maybe he got it wrong too. And then, you know, they said, if he's a man of God, he should have known. So, God will use the same person to give you a word of wisdom and you will despise it. You were foolish. I believe, I might be wrong, that Gehazi must have scoped. You know scope? The Greek word of scope. He must have scoped Elisha before. He just said, what's the big deal? Pastor, no deal, no, I mean, the man just, said, as you went, my heart went with you. Hey, Holy Ghost is on him today. That was the problem. Honor is substantial. Don't ever forget. I told you in the first service, that brother beside, that sister beside, that's the Christ you know. And that's the Christ you see. Honor is in what you say. Watch what you say. Last week we talked about anger. Do you remember? Don't say anything in anger to anybody. Speak to who? Yourself. I've seen people say terrible things. If you were at a workers' convention, remember I shared that with us. Build to last. Can you remember? How to protect the vessels of God. And I shared my own story. Don't let anybody tell you there's no one that God cannot use. That is stupidity. God chooses the people He will use. And when you abuse that relationship for those privileges, you are disadvantaged. Never forget, I shared that with you. Watch what you say. There was a guy like that in our university days. We were in his room. And then he was talking about some preachers and he mentioned every preacher I knew. He called them despicable names. Called one a nigger. That was crazy price he called a nigger. He called Kenneth Hagin that Texan something. I didn't see anything. And he was known for preaching. So as I walked out of his room, myself and his friend, who took me there, said, what do you think about that guy? Said, he will never end up in the ministry. Said, why do you say so? I said, he doesn't have the culture of those who end up in the ministry. You do not devalue the same office you should stand in. You can disagree with certain persons on what they say and what they preach. But don't use such words. I said, no. And I walked through it. Several years now, almost 20 years, he is not in the ministry. You watch what you say. You might be exposed. That's why I will advise believers, don't get your eyes on blogs that write about preachers. My focus, if you have watched me over the years, my focus is on the doctrine. I don't have any business with people's private life. I'm to judge what is being preached. I don't have any business with it. And so, you must ensure you guard your heart from those kind of things. Are you there? So, notice and write this down. All ministers have different reports on them. There is no minister that does not have another kind of report. Sometimes you are used to hearing the good things about someone. Be prepared to hear horrible things unexpectedly. Do you know, Jesus wasn't always called a good guy. They called him a wine bibber. They once called him born of fornication. They called him a liar. They called him possessed of devils. So, the reason why you don't find it prominent is because you don't expect the apostles to be writing that one in chapters. They only made mention of it. But amongst those who didn't honor him, that will be the major thing they will be saying. Wine bibber. They called him names. They called him a false teacher. In Luke 7, when the prostitute came to his feet, they said, if this man is a true prophet, he should have known this woman is a prostitute. In other words, they're saying, is this a man of God? It's very likely that would have been on blogs today on Facebook. Are you making sense here? It would have been put on Instagram. You know what you do? Change the page. Just change the page. Because they are thinking, in fact, when he rose from the dead, they paid soldiers to say his body was stolen. And that story is still in Israel today. I've seen people pay money to totally dishonor another minister. I've seen it happen. Go and write this. Go and do that. I've seen it happen. So you must know that. So Jesus had this kind of stories about him. In 2 Corinthians 6:6, Paul says, he came in honor and in dishonor. In honor and in dishonor. Not everybody likes your pastor. Not everybody likes you. Not everybody wants you to teach them. Not everybody digs the people you dig. So you need to realize that it's your responsibility to protect your heart from dishonor. That will be your job. In the local church, not everybody likes all the brethren. So people will not like some brethren. And they will say it, they will act it. You will keep your heart from such gists. It's your responsibility. Like I said, it's not about just ministers now. I'm just focusing on ministers in this second service. You protect your heart from it. And the funny thing is this. Let me say this. This is by the way. Sometimes, the beneficiaries of evil reports suffer more than those who propagate it. I remember when I was younger, they said this about a preacher. They said he had a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit. Ah, that's what is pushing him. That's what that this person said, I saw it in the spirit. And people believed it then. Just a few years ago, the person who said this person had a familiar spirit is now singing his praises all over. But the people he said that to are nowhere to be found. So if you let anybody put this other in your heart, it's your Allah. If you come to the local church and you are in a prayer group with someone, a zone, after the gospel, follow up, evangelism, prayer, walking in the spirit, the other one, just say good night. Good night. Hey, I didn't even tell you. I went to Professor's house yesterday. If you see what? Okay, you were watching two kinds of actresses. No, not that one. Ah, this is not everything, it's not ministry. Jerry, let me go to my house. You got your heart. Sometimes it could be that brother that will lay hands on you and you'll be healed, not the pastor. I've seen that happen many times. It could be that brother. Years ago, I shared this last week. Or was it last week? Some guys, we had a very terrible relationship. And so, the day the relationship was restored, they came for a meeting we held in 1996. The anointing and his anointings. And then they came. And then I just ministered and I called out a case and laid hands on the guy. He said, do you know that I've had this disease since childbirth? That you, that I had spoken terrible things against. The day we now, and this is a preacher, was how I got healed. Dishonor can be very, very costly. That's why outside doctrinal issues, don't get yourself immersed in any kind of entanglement. A guy who is not doctrinally sound can minister the gifts of, I'm not talking about a heretic or a deceiver, no. Who doesn't have all they have, can minister to the sick and the sick will be healed, and that includes you. A new convert can minister to the sick and the sick will be healed. And many times we need to be healed. Not just that, a couple of other things like that. So dishonor, it disconnects you from receiving from someone. And we said the root of dishonor is humanity. Can you remember that? It's humanity. If you are in ministry and you are in leadership, the closer to leadership, the closer you get, the more spiritual you should become. The more spiritual you should become. What do you do? Focus. There's recognition. There's renewing the mind. There's taking instructions. Watch this. Focus on the ministry and the grace of God. Hear me well. The reason for grace is humanity. Grace is not perfection. It's not for perfection. Grace is for imperfection. I'll take it one more time. Grace is not for perfection. Grace is for imperfection. So when you see the imperfection of that brother, that sister, or that preacher, or that minister, I'm not saying false doctrine, don't get me wrong. When you see imperfection, then you celebrate the grace of God. Because we have this treasure, not in glorified bodies, but in earthen vessels. Are you following me this afternoon? Come on, guys, are you following me this afternoon? So we said, look at Anna. Anna had her gist about Eli. Eli's gist was all over. How his two kids were terrible boys. They slept with women in the temple. They stole the offerings. They were terrible boys. And the news was all over the place. Even Eli himself was very, very, very seriously speaking stupid. When Samuel told him what the Lord said, let the Lord do what he wants. Yet Anna goes into the temple. He has had the stories. He's visited the blogs. He read Facebook. He's been on Instagram. He has watched an AOP speak about this preacher. Then he goes to the temple, and to buttress what they have said about the guy, she's praying, he thinks he's drunk. Nothing should have put you up more than that. you are a real man of God, will you think I'm drunk? I'm in the spirit and you are in the flesh. Are you drunk again? The man says, are you drunk again? Maybe in anger. Are you drunk again, this man? She said, your handmaiden is not drunk, my Lord. She used the right words. The right words. And then Samuel came. Did it mean that Eli's lifestyle, we should emulate it? Never, we shouldn't emulate his lifestyle. But there is no excuse for dishonor. Dishonor has no excuse. There's no excuse for it. And she received him as he is. Dishonor, therefore, is materialistic. Dishonor looks at wealth, possession. Lot, remember Lot? Lot wanted the green pastures. He left Abraham, himself and his servants. Genesis 13. And Abraham said, take what you want. Let there be no strife. Because dishonor will produce strife. Dishonor will what? Dishonor will what? Produce strife. And Lot said, let's go. Abraham said, yeah, you can have everything. Lot knew that God said to Abraham, I bless you with all nations. He knew it. But he said, look, I need to have it. I mean, he went for the oil wealth. Materialistic. Dishonor is after your belly. Just like Gehazi. Watches are not done. Look at Judas. His love for money caught up with him and he dishonored Jesus. Love for money. He will do anything to get a job. He will do anything to get a business partner. He will speak down on his own pastor. He will speak down on his friend. He will speak down the person who blessed him, who got him born again. Because right now, he has an opportunity to make money. Judas. Someone asked me a question, very intelligent. How did they know he was the right guy? It wasn't one off. He had been stealing from the offering bag. And Jesus, despite teaching against covetousness almost every sermon, this guy wouldn't hear. He wouldn't. So they picked him. And he went after the money. 30 pieces of silver. Dishonor is materialistic. Dishonor is condescending. Dishonor treats sacred things as normal. Esau. What's the big deal about my birthright? I better make I chop rice. Oh, but prayer meeting. I said I'm hungry, say prayer meeting. Hey, brother. Look, forget what's camp meeting. What's look at me and say I want to go and what's all that? My life is more important. And Hebrews 12 says that he was a profane man who was godless. Godless. He was a man who didn't have honor for things that God has honored. How many of you know God honors this gathering? Let me see your hand. God honors the church, his ministers, his word. Does God honor our prayer times, worship times? You learn to honor what God honors. That's all. Respect that time. Don't come into the service and, you know, become a nuisance. That's dishonor. Dishonor is condescending. Treats sacred things as normal. And then treats normal things as sacred. The same person will go and meet the president and he will be shaking without the president talking. The same person will go elsewhere. But he sees nothing about his birthright. His birthright was spiritual. He had no regard for it. Number one, dishonor is materialistic. It's condescending. Dishonor is disrespectful. 1 Samuel 15. Here is Saul. Saul had just disobeyed Samuel. And then he says to Samuel. Samuel said, what happened? Why am I here in the chief? I kept them for worship. Okay, no problem. He said, your kingdom is taken away. He said, well, no problem. But you know what? As we go out now on TV, you must appear with me. If you were Samuel, would you say no? A guy said, no problem. So as they went out, Man of God, bless you, bless you. He had no regard for what he said. No wonder the next chapter, even Almighty God had to say to Samuel, don't say you are going to anoint a king. Just say you are going to worship God. In the worship is the anointing. I'm not saying God is afraid of Saul, but dishonorable people are destructive. They can do anything. God even says, avoid. Just like A-Rod. He's condescending. He can, when people are in dishonor, they can wreck anything to get what they want. Saul the kingdom. Esau, food. Tell your neighbor, say, be careful for food. And your appetite. That could include sex, positions. Yet David, in 2 Samuel, in 1 Samuel, he had every right, every room to destroy Saul. Once that he caught his clothes, he said, no, I have sinned against God. I shouldn't do this to the Lord's anointed. This is the man God chose as king. Yet he had utmost respect and regard. In 2 Samuel, a guy comes back from the war front. 2 Samuel chapter 1. The guy that brought the news, he came back in 2 Samuel chapter 1. And he gives the gist. He said, wow, Saul leaned upon his spear, verse 6. And lo, the chariots and all followed after him. And he said all of that. And Moses, in verse 11, tore his clothes and mourned. I said, where is the guy that said it? The guy that said it entered trouble. I will tell you that is right because that was incorrect. Moses acted in the flesh. But notice something he said. David. See something David said in verse 19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon her high place. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. He calls the guy mighty, a guy that came after his life, obviously was living in sin. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters rejoice, lest the daughters of the circumcised triumph. Yea, mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, let there be no rain upon you, nor fields of offerings for there. The shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of the sword, as though it had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the power of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Verse 25, are the mighty fallen, and he was destroyed. Honor doesn't celebrate such things. He honored the man till the end. That's true honor. There's no reason for dishonor, even when the man has just fallen. Saul. Honor values instruction. Go do this, do it. Dishonor is condescending. Don't forget that. Honor takes instruction. Go wash 7 times. In John 9:7, Jesus tells that guy, he said, go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. John 9:7. The guy didn't say, why now? Do what you want to do and let me go home. Honor ignores gist. Honor ensures that you don't speak outside of God's grace and mercy about others. Remember, James the apostle was a lost brother. And that was a problem for him for many years. But you know what James writes in his letters? I, James, a slave of Jesus Christ. A slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except you are told, you will never know that he was a lost brother. That's honor. Except you are told. He recognized who he was. The Lord Jesus Christ. Marital relations, academic business are secondary. Honor primes spiritual things above secular things. There are many things attached to honor. You must keep them. Your use of words. How you refer to persons in their absence. Honor looks at the grace of God upon people, takes the instructions. Don't mix up marital, academic, business relationships with spiritual relationships. That is foolishness. Separate them very well. The Bible separates people. Galatians 6:1, them that are spiritual. 1 Corinthians 14:34, the prophets. 1 Corinthians 4:5, 15 and 16, Paul says, I am your father. Honor doesn't say every minister of the gospel is the same. No, there are those who labor over you. There are those who pray for you. There are those who teach you directly. There are those who take their material. I know people, for example, very dishonoring. They take the things we teach. Takes us hours and years. They teach them. And they don't make a single mention of it. They don't say it. A minister once told me it was very amazing how he said it. He said, well, I learned from your website. I'm taught by your website. And get on this. And then he told other people. He said, you know, the day I was trying to even give an offering to your ministry, but I just stopped. I said, why? He said, because you could say that, why am I giving to you again? No, it's just dishonoring. That's all. And we have many others. I've seen people literally just remove our beginning and end and took the teaching and put it in a book. I've seen it before. Dishonoring. You do it. But doesn't make you do the same. Learn to separate things. This person is not just a ministry gift. This is your pastor. This is your zonal pastor. This is your the person who disciples you. This is the person who is over you in the Lord. Honor makes that distinction. Paul says, all the ministers are for you, but I begat you with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7, 16 and 15 and 16. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, you follow me. Are you learning something? 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Turn there, close. We said this honor is condescending, it's materialistic. This honor is materialistic. This honor follows appetite. What do I want? What I want that is food. I just want sex now. I just want money. I don't care who is who. That's dishonor. I just want to leave the country. I just need help from that fellow. Dishonorable people. I don't think Judas went to the chief priest and spoke well about Jesus to betray him. He must have said, don't mind him. For money. So don't read Judas and think it's not a mirror for you to look at yourself if you behave like that. 1 Thessalonians 5. Are you there? Practice honor in your local church primarily. Those around you, brethren around you, people you see every day. Don't claim to honor people you don't see. And respect them. And you see people every Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Sundays, Saturdays, in the department, in your church, in your zone. Practice it there. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, are you there? Can we take it together? 1 Thessalonians 5:12, are you there? If you are there, say amen. Let's go. I will beseech you, brethren, to know everybody in the body of Christ. Know who? That labor where? And aware over you in the Lord and admonish you, verse 13, very highly for their work's sake. How many of you know people like that in this church? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you don't, go and find out. Those who live. You give them what is due to them. What is due to them. I'm your pastor. But almost unlikely that I will discuss with you what your pastor should discuss with you in your zones and different places. There are sometimes some folks want to discuss some things with me from other churches of Saints Community. And I say, hold on. And I put the pastor online. That's the person you see every Sunday. That's the person who sees you every Thursday. That's the person who directly supervises your spiritual life. To claim to honor me and dishonor them is hypocrisy. I told you in the morning. He that dishonors the Father, dishonors the Son. He that dishonors the Son, dishonors the Father. Honor is an action. It's in our heart, is a heartfelt action. True. Know them. Know them. When you are in a church and you came with your cousins, your cousin brought you, your uncle, your husband, your wife, your brother,
that the moment you have come in and you have submitted to the ministry there, they no longer have that role in your life. And if you are like that, relinquish the person to his pastor. And don't be playing second fiddle. That's the son. Are you following what we're saying here? Hebrews 13, verse 17. Are you learning something, church? Glory to Jesus. Let's take it together now. Let's go. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they must do it with joy, not with grief. This is unprofitable for you. Hallelujah. In Luke 22:31-32, Jesus prayed for Peter so that Peter can strengthen the others. God chooses men like that in the body of Christ around us in the local church, who will now be like the fortress for others. When we recognize them, as we protect them, we protect ourselves. As we pray for them, we pray for ourselves. Hallelujah. They must give account. Learn on. You can't receive from a man that you rate his humanity above the grace of God in his life. You'll be so surprised. Those who are not close to he or she will receive his ministry, our ministry, way beyond you. And it is yours for a loss. But I know we walk in honor in this church. I said we walk in honor in this church. We're men of the Spirit. We recognize the things of the Spirit. We recognize the gifts of grace. We honor one another. The honor of God. Thought someone says is on you. The honor of God is on you. Because of the blood of Jesus, the honor of God is on you. So I honor you in that office as a believer. I receive honor from you too in my office as a believer. I respond in honor to the leadership of this local church. I live in honor. My eyes are on the grace of God and not on humanity. Amen. Let me just say a few things. We'll close on that. Look at the meetings. Honor walks in meetings. From next week, Sunday, all the weeks, we're going to have Holy Ghost meetings. Praise God. Have the gifts of the Spirit and demonstration in our meetings as we should. Honor is important. When you honor the church, when you honor the church and honor believers, it is very easy for the things of the Spirit to flow in our midst. The moment we bring in strife, dishonor, it stifles the gifts of the Spirit. But where you see honor, which is, I said, bedrock of honor, is love. The power of God will be in demonstration. Many people will be blessed. It doesn't have to be the pastor. Others sitting beside you because you honor church. The church, you don't see them in their illiteracy. You don't see them in their, what they wore, what they didn't wear. You don't see the kind of cars they drive. You don't have any problem. You've not gotten yourself into any strife or vainglory or disagreement or debate. You will receive this. Because you receive the person or that person, he or she, in his office. Practice honor. In the meetings, practice honor. When someone gets up to do prayer, practice honor. When someone gives you instructions, practice honor. When you see someone at the door of the church, practice honor. When you see someone teaching, practice honor. Laying on of hands, honor. Someone prophesying, practice honor. The person is sitting, standing in the stead of Jesus Christ. This brother is doing what Jesus would have done. Those fellows are the technical that are doing what Jesus would have done. The guys who, you know, ensure things go well are doing what Jesus would have done. So honor them in their offices. Honor people for what they do in your life. Don't be a person of dishonor. You see, when it comes to honor, little things are magnified because they matter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I live a life of honor. I practice honor in the church, outside the church, among believers, and I receive the blessedness of the man of honor. You're blessed. Santo Apiles, bless the Lord. Give him praise. Worship him. Thank you.